With all the news going on recently, it's been hard to find time to talk about the campaigning that's been happening in the Democratic field for president. There are less than 4 months left until the Iowa caucuses, so let's check in on the race now, starting with this news from yesterday that former Vice President Joe Biden is calling for President Trump's impeachment for the first time.
To preserve our Constitution, our democracy, our basic integrity, he should be impeached.
Let's bring in NPR political correspondent Scott Detrow, who's been following the campaign. Hi, Scott.
You know, it's hard times for a political campaign reporter, like you said. It's just not the top
you
story
can't
right
get
now.
On the show, right? Well, here you are. So Biden has previously called for an impeachment inquiry, but yesterday he actually came out for impeachment himself. What prompted that?
You know, I think one big reason is that it's honestly in line with where most Democrats are right now. We saw a major uptick in support for impeachment overall in a lot of polls over the last week. But the biggest shift initially was among Democrats. It went from something that most Democratic voters were split on to something that, you know, 8 in 10, 9 in 10 Democrats agree on. That's part of it. The argument that Biden made yesterday is that just a series of actions by President Trump and the Trump administration over the past week or so has really clarified this for Biden. Among them, being in public and saying, China, I welcome your interference as well. And then the step earlier this week of sending a letter to Congress saying we are not going to cooperate in any way, shape or form, which Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats have said could lead to an article of obstruction impeachment.
Have the other major candidates on the Democratic side also come out in favor of impeachment?
Yeah. And it's worth noting that Biden was actually out of step with most of the Democratic field on this. Elizabeth Warren, senator from Massachusetts, came out in favor of impeachment months ago this spring, shortly after the Mueller report came out. Her argument was that the details in the Mueller report, especially the 10 instances of possible obstruction, was enough for her. Bernie Sanders was kind of in between the two, coming out for impeachment only more recently, but a little bit before Biden.
Let's talk about Bernie Sanders, because he is now back on the campaign trail after suffering what he called a minor heart attack. Initially, he said he would change the nature of his campaign, but then on NBC yesterday, he said he misspoke. Here he is.
But the word was I was going to slow down. Surprise, surprise, that we're not going to tomorrow start doing four events a day. But we're going to get back into the groove of a vigorous, very vigorous campaign.
Scott, what has this heart attack meant for Sanders' campaign for president?
Well, it means that it's basically on pause right now. He has not done any public events since the episode. His campaign is only committing to saying he will be back for the debate, and it has not made it clear one way or another whether he will do any events between now and then. I think in raw political terms, Bernie Sanders probably benefited from the intense focus on impeachment right now. This story that he had a heart attack. Pretty major story. First of all, the Sanders campaign did not release that key detail until several days after the fact, late in the evening on Friday, once he was also released from the hospital. But it certainly calls into question the fact that Bernie Sanders, 78 years old, if elected, he would be the oldest president elected. Same goes for Joe Biden, and the current record is held by President Trump. And Elizabeth Warren is 70 as well. So the top four candidates on both sides are all in their 70s, and one of them suffering a heart attack, I think, really underscores that fact.
If Sanders does lose momentum as a result of this, where does the support for him and all the money he's been raising go, do you think?
Yeah, I think we would need to look for a lot of polls to make that inference at this point, certainly. But, you know, over the last few months, Sanders' support has remained relatively steady, but it's gone down a little bit. And that's happened as Elizabeth Warren has steadily gained ground. I think Warren is most likely the beneficiary of that. Right now, if you combine Warren and Sanders' support, it's far ahead of Joe Biden, but he's still neck and neck with Warren in the polls in the key states, in most of the key states, and nationally, because the progressive base is split right now.
Let's talk about Senator Warren, who has faced a controversy in recent days over whether she was pushed out of a teaching job for being pregnant, which we should note is an experience that many women report having gone through from the 60s through more recent days. Here's what Warren said, first of all, in a 2007 interview, suggesting that her decision to leave the school was her choice.
I actually didn't have the education courses, so I was on an emergency certificate, it was called. And I went back to graduate school and took a couple of courses in education and said, I don't think this is going to work out for me.
Okay, and here's how she's been describing the experience more recently. This is her at the last debate in September.
But at the end of that first year, I was visibly pregnant. And back in the day, that meant that the principal said to me, wished me luck, and hired someone else for the job.
What do we know about this, Scott?
She did a long interview with CBS. It was Department of Interesting Timing that CBS had apparently been working on this story for several weeks, if not months, and then another outlet posted right beforehand. Her response to the change of story was pretty matter of fact, and I think it's something that a lot of people could understand as opposed to a lot of stories about politicians shifting their stories. And that was this, that once she became a U.S. senator, once she became more of a public figure in public office, she decided to be more comfortable and honest about an experience of discrimination in her past. And from the moment that she wrote about it in her book going forward, she has said that she was let go, fired, shown the door. The way that she puts it, it seems like it was an ambiguous situation with a clear outcome of you no longer work here. So that's what she's saying. And her campaign has really leaned into the fact that story probably strikes true with a lot of women over a lot of decades, including recently, as you said. I think it really underscores one key point, though, and that is, by and large, Elizabeth Warren has been able to set the terms of her coverage so far. She has been only recently the front runner. She's been giving a stump speech, rolling out policies, and really defining her own story. But when you're the front runner, as I think you could argue she now is, a lot of other campaigns start circling you, doing opposition research. Reporters start digging in.
You get more negative attention, basically.
Exactly. And I think Warren is going to have to, as Joe Biden has for months now, respond to stories that they wouldn't necessarily want to be talking about a lot more now.
And when you say she's the front runner, that's because now when you look at the average of polls and some, she's actually ahead of Joe Biden.
I think that's one key metric. And another thing that really underscored that to me is that she raised about $10 million more than Joe Biden last quarter, even though Joe Biden does a ton of high dollar fundraisers and Warren does not do any of them.
Scott, there are a number of other candidates. We're not going to get to all of them in this segment, but there is one other one that I want to talk about because he's now in the top four in the Iowa polls. That's Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Of South Bend, Indiana, and he's at 11% in Iowa, just behind Bernie Sanders at 12%. He has made a point not to fundraise off of the impeachment inquiry in Congress, although he does support impeachment. Tell us about his campaign, and does he have a chance in Iowa?
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, we focus on the top polling candidates with a lot of our attention, and I think there's a lot of reasons to do that. But the caucuses are 4 months away. The caucuses do have a long, rich history of breaking late in the game and seeing somebody as a surging candidate who might not really appear on the radar until December or so. Pete Buttigieg is really positioning himself in an interesting way. I'm actually going to head to Iowa right after the debate next week to cover him for a little bit and look at this. He's got a lot of money, so he's got the resources to hire staff. He's got a lot of excitement and a lot of people who want to volunteer for his campaign. So he's got a lot of boots on the ground, knocking on doors, doing the type of organizing that you need to do to have the possibility of catching momentum at a late stage. I think Buttigieg, one more quick point on this, Buttigieg is one of several candidates whose path to success really relies on Joe Biden possibly fading. So I think he's positioning himself to see if, and again, the polls hasn't really shown this yet, if Joe Biden does start to fade because of the rise of Warren or because of the scrutiny that Trump is putting on him or a bunch of other factors, Buttigieg seems like he's going to be ready with the dollars and the people and the strategy to try and take advantage in Iowa.
Finally, you mentioned the debate, the fourth debate. It's coming up next week. There are going to be even more candidates on one stage than we've seen in the last few debates.
Too many. 12 candidates on one stage. And if you thought those 10-person stages were hard to hear from everybody, it's going to be even worse. 12 candidates. I think just, you know, look at this conversation and look at a lot of the coverage as a whole. I think the thing I'm interested in the most is the Buttigieg, the Cory Bookers, the Kamala Harrises, the Amy Klobuchars of the world. How do they take advantage of the questions that they will get pretty infrequently, you know, every 15, 20 minutes or so at best in their position? Mm-hmm. Can they give a reason for voters to give them a second look?
That is NPR political correspondent Scott Detrow. Again, we are less than 4 months away from the Iowa caucuses, and Scott is covering it all. Thank you.
Thanks. Talk soon.